I've been to seeing a lot of nurses and doctors here recently, and they tell me I'm doing fine. I don't have any more pain. Praise the Lord for that. And I want to thank all of you that prayed for me and those that sent me notes and messages and whatever. I thank you. I received them. I'm just not that good with this little phone. Somehow, I never learned to type on a keyboard either. And so I certainly can't on that little two-incher with these fingers. Now, I've seen some of you just grab it, and with your thumbs, you just go to beat 60, boy. That's not me. Turn, if you will, into Romans chapter 3. Look at verse 10. Romans chapter 3, verse 10. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all, that's the word that's there, they're gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the clarity and the plainness of it. We thank you, Lord, because it's truth. And we thank you, Lord, for this congregation today and our gathering together to bring praise to the name of Jesus and preach the gospel to the lost and reach out with the word of God to help all that can come to you. Forgive us of our sins. Take our attention away from the world and put it on your word and your truth. Give me ease and power to preach your word as only you can do. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I was raised with two truths. It was in my house. We were not a very religious house. But I was raised that the Bible was the word of God and it was true. And if you understood it, you had the truth. And I was raised with the name of Jesus Christ. Jesus was God, God in the flesh. And those two things helped me out, because when I was about 20 years old and I had an experience, I could go to the Lord and get saved. And I got changed when I was 20. That's almost 66 years ago. I've been preaching the gospel. You know what? I've preached these verses so many times. I love them. I love them. And I don't get tired of them. As it is written, you know what you got? You got in your hands a Bible that has the truth of God, and you ought to spend some time finding out what that is. Amen. You ought to get to where you know it backwards and forwards, and you could explain it to other people. You ought to get to the place that you could be a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ, because there's a lot of lost people in the world that don't believe what I'm going to preach to you this morning. There's none righteous. No, not one. I have met in my preaching and living for 85, almost 86 years now, a lot of righteous people. They believe they're righteous. They believe they're all right. They believe they're good and the rest of the world is just messed up. But that's not what this Bible says right here. That's not what the Apostle Paul tells us. He said there's none righteous. None righteous. Now that doesn't mean that you're all as bad as you can possibly be. It just means you don't measure up to the standard.
That's right.
And what's the standard? The standard's Jesus Christ.
Amen.
When you get as good as Jesus, then you can walk into heaven. Without being as good as Jesus and never having a sin, well, you're in trouble.
Amen.
Because you don't have a payment for your sin that you can make. Do you have enough money to influence God? Well, God doesn't need money. Well, Are you so good and so righteous and so kind, and are you so full of the Spirit of God that you, God is impressed with you? Some people think they are. And the truth of the matter is, I have in my life witnessed many times in 65 years. And you know what? I've met people that don't believe they're sinners. Now maybe you're sitting in this audience and you don't believe you're a sinner. I'm telling you, you're a sinner. But I've met people and they're not living a good life. They're not living an honorable life, but they're not a sinner. So they don't need a savior. Well, according to this book right here, as it is written, you know, they asked Paul, said, what advantage did the Jew have? He said, much every way. But he said, mostly they had the Word of God. That's a beautiful, tremendous advantage, to have the Word of God and to know they have the Word of God. It is written in that Word of God, there is none righteous, no, not one. The very best of us, your sweet grandmother and your manly grandfather, or your mother and your father, whatever, they were not perfect. Amen. Have you tried to be perfect in yourself? Have you tried to give your... Hey, how about going on a diet? How many of you can last on a diet? Ah, I tell you what, I fasted a few times and had a piece of old stale bread make me break my fast. You know it's true. None that understandeth. None that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. Wow, that's a tremendous statement. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. Now that's you. I'm talking to you today.
Amen.
You're not, if you're going to heaven, you're not going to heaven because you're good.
Amen.
If you got fellowship with God, you don't have it because you don't have sin. You can't walk into the presence of God because God will not put up with your sinfulness. And sinfulness comes down to selfishness. I do believe that an awful lot of trouble in the world is just simply because people are too selfish. I want my way, my way, my way. And there's an awful lot of problems in the world because of your way. They're all gone out of the way. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Well, now you may think that God gave the Ten Commandments for you to find a way to get to heaven. I know it's taught that way in many churches. Good little boys go to heaven and bad little boys go to hell. That's not true. The problem is there are no good little boys. You're not as good as you think you are. You are a selfish being. Very selfish. And selfishness is sin. You want your way, and you want the whole world to pay attention to you. Now, there are supposedly maybe close to 9 billion people alive on the earth today. And about that many people since Adam have died. So out of the 18 billion people, supposedly, that is out there, he said there's no, not one. No, not one. Now, why did God give this to us? Look at verse 19, chapter 3 of Romans. Now we know, what do we know? That what things soever the law saith, it says to them who are under the law. Now why did he give us the law? Now look at this verse 19. That every mouth may be stopped. Instead of all the bragging that's done so many times, and sometimes we do it in jest and fun. I'm a foolish one that my mouth gets me in trouble all the time. But every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. What does the law do? Go read the law. Read the Ten Commandments of Moses. You know what it'll do? It'll convict you.
Amen.
It'll convict you. Nobody's supposed to be before God. Well, you're before God. Sometimes in your household, you demand to be first. You demand to have your way. A lot of the people, I've seen kids walk around, and some kids have a stronger personality, and they just boss the rest of them around. Why did God give the law that every mouth may be stopped? Verse 19. Every mouth may be stopped. Shut up.
Amen.
No back talk. No reasoning. No, you're thinking. That every mouth may be stopped. And look at that word, all. And all the world may become guilty. Do you know the people who seek God? Guilty people.
Amen.
Guilty people. I didn't pray for Eddie before he was born. I prayed for the rest of my children while they were in the womb. But I wasn't really saved. I was religious, but I wasn't really saved. I remember the time, at the moment that I got saved, I'd been hearing some, I went to preaching where they had a good, strong gospel preaching. And I was singing old hymns. And I loved the hymns. Still do. And Verlene, man, she wanted to go to bed at 9 and get up at 4:30 every morning. Every day. And so I'm laying in the bed singing. She says, if you're going to sing, why don't you get up? Go in the room. Other room. Okay. So I got up. And I went in there, and Eddie was just a few days old. And I looked at that little boy, and I really loved him. Something really changed when you have a kid. Something just really changed. And I looked at him, and I thought about the difference between me and my own father. My father didn't cuss. He didn't drink. He didn't run around. He was a family man, a hard worker, and he taught me how to work. I'd be up there sweating, and I'd say, I'm going to go get a drink. No, you don't need a drink. Keep working. He thought all work was honorable, and he taught me to work. I said, I want to go play. No, you don't need to play. Get up here and keep that paintbrush going, or keep dragging that big jack underneath the house when you're leveling the floors or whatever. My dad was a good worker. And I thought, if I turned out, I was cussing and drinking and gambling and smoking. I'm 20 years old. If I turned out as different from my father as I was, where was that going to put my boy? If he turned out in proportion to me as I turned out to my dad. And it brought a tremendous conviction of sin to my mind. I remember it well right now. I started to pray. I started to confess sins. I didn't just say I'm a sinner. I was thinking up of everything I'd ever done. I had about a 2.5-hour prayer meeting with God in the middle of the night. And bless your heart, when I got through that prayer meeting, I was saved.
Amen.
I said, I'm going to preach the gospel. Well, every mouth may be stopped. My smart aleck mouth was shut up. And all the world, that was me, became guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified. You can tell me you don't drink, you don't smoke, you don't this, you don't that, and you do this and you do that. Won't help you. Won't help you. It's fine that you do that. You're doing the right thing. Nothing wrong with that. But by the law, no, you didn't by the law. By the law is the knowledge of sin. When you read that law, you realize you don't measure up. Well, Jesus cut it down to about 2 verses. Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, all thy mind, all thy soul, and all thy strength. All my strength, all my mind, all my love. Wow. I had a lot of love for Verlene. I had a lot of love for my kids. I had a lot of love. I've got love for you. How in the world can I fulfill that first law? Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul. And how about my neighbors, myself? I laugh about it. I've got a new car. I didn't buy you one. Had you noticed? I didn't buy you one. I don't love you as much as I love myself. Isn't that true of you?
Amen.
Aren't you about the same as I am? We're very self-centered. You realize there's 18 billion people that have been born in the history of the world, and maybe 9 billion around today, and every one of them is selfish. Amen. We've all got our own self-interest at heart. Most of my prayers are selfish. Yours are too. All the world may become guilty. Therefore, by the deeds of the law shall no flesh be justified in his sight. By the law is the knowledge of sin. But now, it says in verse 21, the righteousness of God without the law. Whoa. That's a different thing. The righteousness of God without the law. That's what he said. I think I'm reading it clearly. The righteousness of God without the law is manifested. I love that word, manifested. Got this great big container here. What's in it? Well, it's all locked up, and it's been locked up for months. What's in it? They got a piece of paper. It's called a manifest. The manifest tells you everything that is in that container. And what does that say? The righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Wow. The simple gospel truth is Jesus died for you. Jesus paid your debt. Jesus established a perfect righteousness before the courts of heaven. And God will give you his righteousness if you'll take it from Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Jesus paid the debt for you.
Amen.
The righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe. For there's no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You're a sinner. You need a Savior.
Amen.
I've often heard it said that it's better to have a good lawyer than to be innocent. Well, my lawyer is Jesus Christ.
Amen.
He's the Son of God, and he is innocent.
Amen.
Now look at that verse 24. Being justified freely. Do those words mean anything to you? You do read English.
Amen.
Justified freely? Wow. That's a beautiful statement.
Yeah.
Justified freely by his grace. You know what grace is, don't you? Grace is a beautiful word.
Amen.
God's grace brings us salvation. God's grace brings us justification. God's grace, not your works, not your love, not your compassion, not your service, not your work. No. The grace of God brings the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. That's why that little verse in John 3:16, God so loved the world that he gave. He gave. Salvation is a gift. Many, many people think of salvation at the end of life as a reward for good works done. I don't think you have that many. I tell you the truth, I've known a lot of nice people, really good people. I've been pastoring 65 years. I've pastored policemen, I've pastored politicians, I've pastored school teachers, I've pastored grandmas and grandpas and kids and whatever. And you know what? Not a one of them was righteous.
Right.
Not a one of them was good enough to make it to heaven. Now some of them thought they were. And you might think you are. Why don't you take what the book says? I don't have anything to do but preach the book. That's my job. I'm preaching the book and I'm going to preach it as long as I can. Maybe not much longer. But I tell you the truth. It's a gift of God by His grace. Verse 24, justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Jesus paid it all.
Amen.
Jesus made the way. By the grace of God, He offers a gift to you.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
He'll forgive your sins. He'll dress you in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And it's a gift. Anybody can get it.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes. Amen.
Now, verse 26 in this chapter says, to declare. He's declaring something. At this time, His righteousness. Whose? Jesus. He's not declaring your righteousness. Get it in your head. You are not righteous. And if you from this moment lived righteous the rest of your life, it wouldn't pay for what you've been up to now.
That's right. Amen.
And you don't have enough money to pay God off. You can't buy your way into heaven. You don't have enough energy to work your way into heaven. You are not religious enough. Man, I've seen some people with religion. I've seen them crawling on their knees down roads. I've seen them doing all sorts of pilgrimages and beating themselves and all sorts of doing things, crazy, crazy things. He won't buy your salvation. He won't pay for one sin. It won't pay for the thoughts of your mind this morning.
Amen.
Justified freely by His grace. His righteousness. Now it says to declare His righteousness that He might be just. We'd like to get some just politicians in, wouldn't we? We got, hey, have you voted? I voted. I won't tell you how I voted. You probably figured it out. He might be just. That's good. I'd want a just king. I'd want a just mother or dad. I had that. I want a just friend. That he might be just and the justifier. The justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. How simple is that? The gospel is very simple. It's very plain. You just got to believe it. If you believe it, it'll change your life. If you believe it, it'll change your eternity.
Amen.
Out there, there's a heaven and there's a hell.
Right.
You go in one place or the other. There's no three places. Justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. Now, verse 27 says, where's boasting then? Well, this gospel, as it's presented in the Word of God, excludes boasting. Who can boast? If I get to heaven, it's because I was given a gift.
That's right.
If I'm able to walk into the presence of God, it's because God is gracious. And God is gracious with His gifts. Who do I have to thank? God. None of it's on me. Yeah, I've been preaching 65 years, right? I hope to preach a few more. But I may not. Anything can happen at any time, and I know that, and I've known it all along. I fully believe Verlene would outlive me 20 years, but she didn't. She deserted me and went to heaven. She decided that it was easier and better. And I fully agree with her. Where's boasting? It's excluded. By what law? The law of works? Could any of you honestly tell me that you think you can work to pay off an injury? Pay off a sin? Pay off a damage that you've done? You can't take the words back that spit out of your mouth.
Amen.
You can't remove the problem if a fellow loses his arm because you're driving drunk and have a wreck. It doesn't replace his arm. You can be so sorry. You can be even very patient. You can even be helpful, but it doesn't replace the arm.
That's right.
Where is boasting then? It's excluded by what law? No, by the law of faith. Therefore, you know, I like these words like declare, justified. Therefore, that means from what I've been telling you along this far, we got a conclusion. Look at verse 28. Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. That's a good conclusion. Amazing conclusion. Look, if you will, at Luke 18. 18 verse 9. We got some people going down to the temple to pray. Luke 18:9, and he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves. Now maybe some of you listening to my voice today are trusting in yourself, that you're good enough, that you don't need a Savior, you don't need to be forgiven, you have never done anything bad enough. Well, Jesus was telling this parable about that. Unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. And you know, some of us like that. I listen to the news sometimes and I thank the Lord that I'm not as other men are. Hey, I don't like the news. I listen to it every day. I 1 hour a day, I get from 5 to 6, I'm going to be probably watching news, okay? Do I believe everything they say? No, I don't. I'm an old skeptic. Do they have an angle? All of them got an angle. You don't think a millionaire puts millions of dollars into a TV station and he doesn't have an angle. He doesn't have an opinion. He doesn't have something he wants to promote. I don't believe that. I know they've all got an angle. Don't think I'm that foolish. I'm old. He spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up into the temple to pray. The one a Pharisee, now that's a very religious man. Had the truth a great deal of the time. And the other a publican, a tax collector for the Roman government. A Jew, but he collected taxes off of his Jewish people for the Roman government. They were despised. Oh boy. Verse 11 is just an interesting verse. Pay attention to it. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself. I like the way that's said. God, I thank thee that I'm not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. He thinks he's a good man. By outward standards, he would be recognized as a good man. He goes to church 2 times a week. He fasts. He gives his money. When I got saved, this old preacher, he was 65 and I was 20. I said, what do I need to do now? He said, get baptized and tithe. I said, I've already been baptized. He said, son, baptism comes after salvation. Did you just get saved? Yes. And you need to get baptized. So I got baptized again. I didn't even have a checkbook. I lived by cash. I was in the military. I made $196 a month. He said, tithe. I said, what's a tithe? I didn't know what a tithe was. He said, it's 10% of your income. Okay. I dropped a $20 bill into the offering plate as it went past in the church from then on. Okay. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all I possess. He's a very religious man. And the publican, a despised man, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Amen. You see the difference in those two prayers?
Amen.
How do you pray? How do you pray? God, Be merciful to me, a sinner. That's what I did. I admitted I was a sinner in need of a Savior. And God saved my soul, and He changed my life, radically changed my life. Praise God. You know, I do like that prayer, though, if you do it right. God, I thank Thee that I'm not as other men are. I'm saved now, and I can pray that prayer. God, I thank You that I'm not lost. God, I'm thankful that You let me be born in that farmhouse where my daddy was born and where my sister was born, to two country people that were the salt of the earth. Thank You, God, that I was born in America where I could hear the gospel.
Amen.
Where I could have freedom and
Amen.
Do different things in my mind, whatever, in my life. Do you ever thank God for those things? I do. I thank God for the changes He's brought in my life. I thank God for the people that He's brought in my life. I thank God for the experiences all the way up to here. Because it's not like a lot of other people. I knew a lot of people that had what I considered really poor parents. I didn't have that. I had a good family. I had the people that loved me. They did not want another baby in 1936 in the middle of the Depression after they'd lost everything. But they received me and loved me. I was spoiled rotten. Praise the Lord. God be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified. Which one went out to the house justified? The guy that said, God be merciful to me, a sinner.
Amen.
God was merciful to him.
Amen.
God dressed him up in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Amen. God took the records of heaven and put Jesus Christ's righteousness in onto his name.
Thank you, Lord.
From here on, he can walk into the presence of Almighty God as a father. Just like Jesus. Is that expecting too much? You might think so. I don't think so. I think that's what he's given you. He's bought you as his son or his daughter. He's loved you, and he loves you beyond anything that you can imagine. Wow. Most of my prayers are not really big official prayers. I don't go down and get on my knees. They hurt too bad sometimes. I don't get on my knees. I don't close my hands. I don't close my eyes. I just say, Lord, while I'm driving down the road in my car, while I'm doing something else, Lord. And I pray. I pray for you, and I pray for my family. I pray for this country. I even pray that somebody will do something to Putin. Now, maybe I'm not as merciful as I ought to be. But the only problem I worry about is that somebody worse than him might step up. But that's the way I pray. And you know, my father, when I was a teenager and I was running a little bit wild, he told me, he took me aside and he told me, son, you can always come back here. We'll welcome you. No matter what you do, no matter what you get into, no matter what happens, you're always welcome here. Well, I've got a heavenly father that's even better than my earthly father. I'm always welcome here. I'm always welcome. Why don't you get real welcome with God? Are you saved? You know that you're saved? You know you're forgiven? You know that you're going to heaven on the righteousness of Jesus Christ? Do you know that? If you don't know that, you can know it. You can know it today. Ah, it's blessed me so much, this salvation that God gave me. Just tremendous Changed my entire life, my entire way of thinking. I can't get hardly past preaching the gospel. I love it too much. It's so great. There's so much gift there, and it's all yours if you'll just believe it. God loves you in spite of what you are. God loves you no matter how much you've turned him down in the past.
Thank you, Lord.
Isaiah 55:6 is the great invitation verse. Seek you the Lord while he may be found. He can be found today. Call you upon him while he's near. He's near. Everywhere this word is preached, God the Holy Spirit is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and let the righteous man his thoughts. Let him return unto the Lord and he will have mercy upon him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon.
Thank you, Lord. Amen.
In 1 Timothy 2:5 says, for there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. That's it. Mary can't help you. Peter can't help you. The Pope can't help you. The local preacher can't help you. You need Jesus.
Amen.
You need Jesus. He's the one that died for you. He's the one that has the established perfect righteousness before the law and before God in heaven. He's the only intercessor. If you'll call upon Jesus and ask him, forgive me of my sins, Lord. Save my soul and change my life. I trust myself into your hands. I have no confidence in my flesh. I have no confidence in the world or the church. My confidence is in you. You can be saved.
Yes.
Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for so many words, so many wonderful messages that you've got in your word. Thank you for such a beautiful, simple, plain, clear gospel. Oh, God, take your word and apply it to someone's heart today. Save someone's soul and change somebody's life. And let them then be thankful that you've touched them.
Amen.
You've changed them. You've blessed them. And you'll bless them for all eternity. Be with us. God, bless our lives today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
God bless you.